Thank you for joining us at Our Savior's Church. If you would like more information on previous messages or sermon series, visit our website at oursaviorschurch.com, or you can call the office at 337-839-8889. Once again, thank you for joining us at Our Savior's Church.
I'm excited to preach this word to you today. In fact, I'm titling this message, you're one team away. Everybody say one team. You're one team away from your destiny. You're just one team away from your destiny. You've heard me say this. You've heard Pastor Jacob say it. I think I heard him say it first. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Show me the people that are closest to you in your life, and I can pretty much mark out where you're going to end up by showing them who your closest friends are. In fact, it was Solomon who first really said this when he said in the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, verse 20. This is what your mama told you. Young people, lean in. Because when your mama said things like, she was really quoting Solomon when she said, son, if you play with the pigs, you're going to get dirty. Or your mama said, if you lay with the dogs, you're going to get fleas. Watch what Solomon said. When you walk with the wise, you become wise. You don't even have to be wise, but if you'll get the right team around you, you'll become wise. And then if you associate with fools, guess what happens to you? You're going to get in trouble. Isn't it funny how that works? If you're ever around passionate people, you know what happens to you? You become what? You become passionate. If you're around hardworking people, faith-filled people, well, usually the people that you are around usually ends up having an influence on your very own life. But if that works in the positive, it also works in the negative. If you're around negative people all the time, guess what happens to you? You become critical people. You become critical. Self-centered people, you become what you are. Solomon was right. If you want to be wise, then walk with the wise. You're one team away from your destiny. You've heard me say many times, and I think it was Pastor Jacob who probably said it first, that we're here to tear down pride, prejudice, and poverty. And we probably handle the prejudice issue often because of what's happening in our culture. But I want to talk to you a little bit today about poverty. Because I think we have a problem with poverty. And we all know there's three types of poverty. There's material poverty, which is obvious. We do live in a poor community, in one of the poorer states. We're one of the poorer parishes in one of the poorer states. And our city is in a poor condition. And that's just the facts. But I would say to you, compared to America, we're probably in a poorer community, but compared to the rest of the world, we're probably in the top 80%. Even the poor among us, compared to the rest of the world, is not really poor. We probably have some hunger issues, but there's not starvation, and if you do know someone who is starving, we want to help them. But I'm not talking about material poverty. I would say this has been a spiritual poverty. That would be the second, spiritual poverty. And hopefully our Savior's Church and our other churches in our community are answering that very need. But today what I want to talk to you about, I think is an epidemic, is relational poverty. We're dying and starving for something and we didn't even realize it. The relational poverty. I think many of us want to be independent. You heard Ty's testimony today. He was saying, you know, it was real hard going into a small group and you didn't really know everybody. But then you heard kind of his angst at the beginning, but then you heard the end of his testimony where once he broke through and realized how rich and how relational he was in poverty, and how rich it was at the end. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, because I think independence and Christianity are two words that don't mix. Let me say that again. Independence and Christianity are two words that don't mix. It's not good for man to be alone. I'm an independent man. I don't need any. No, you're a foolish man. You're a foolish man. In fact, the Bible says things like this: where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Did you know that there are over 59 one another's in the Bible? To love one another, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to pray for one another, to honor one another, to accept one another, to love one another. And you can't do that unless you're on a team. I know this. This one another doesn't happen in this room. One another's is very difficult to take place sitting in rows facing forward. You've come today to hear the word, correct? To worship and the word. And you come, and there has to be an avenue in which you can experience the one another's. Love, encourage, strengthen, pray. And one of the ways that we created was that we would go into small groups and that we would get you into a small group. Everybody say, small group. Now let me talk to you a little bit about relational poverty so you'll get it, because I think there's some reasons why we are relationally in poverty. Number one, I think one of the main reasons is because we don't stay anywhere very long anymore. In fact, most Americans move every 5 years. So you don't really have time to develop relationships because we're a very mobile or very mobile group of people in America now. And so because of increased mobility. But let me give you the second reason why I think we are relationally in poverty is because of modern conveniences. How many of you appreciate air conditioning? Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Especially here in South Louisiana, we like AC, air conditioning. But how many of you can remember before air conditioning? Raise your hand. When you didn't have AC. There's all the old people in the room right there. What did you do before you had air conditioning? Remember when you was at home? Jarvis, you're old. You remember. Jarvis, you remember? What'd you do, Jarvis? You go sit outside on the front porch. Y'all remember sitting outside on the front porch? And everybody was sitting on the front porch because it was cooler outside in the evening than it was inside in your house. And so you know what happened outside. Everybody sit on the front porch, and there go T-Boy down the road. Hey, what's up, T? How y'all doing? You remember that? AC, and how about this one? Attached garages. That means, and then the garage door. The garage door opener. Because now you can drive through your neighborhood. You can drive your car through your neighborhood with your windows up, because now we have ACs in our car. So you heat the windows up, drive up to your driveway, hit your button to your back cave, let the door go up, you pull in, push the door comes down, you walk into your AC, and you don't even have to know your neighbor's names. It's conveniences, right? We have these modern conveniences. So some of the reasons why we're not connecting relationally with people. How about this one? How many of you can remember the answering machine? You kids don't know what we're talking about. Let me talk to you kids for a little bit. Back in the day, we didn't have these. We only had a house phone, and it was connected to the wall. Unless you were really high. Remember, then you got your mobile phone back then, man. It was no longer connected to the wall. It was set on the table, and it had a long wire from the wall to the phone. Y'all remember that? And then eventually, back in the day, before answer machines, when somebody called, the only way you knew who it was that called, you had to answer it. And sometimes you didn't want to answer it, but you had no idea. There was no caller ID. You would have to pick it up and go, hello. And you're going, oh, man, why did I answer this phone? But you were connecting. And then the answer machine, and it would go, beep. Hi, this is Eugene and Heidi's phone. Sorry we're unable to take your call right now, but if you would leave a message, we'll get back with you. Have a blessed day. Beep. Jeannie, this is your mama. Call me. I'm like, whoo, thank God I didn't answer. I'm teasing. My mama's right over there. It was the answer machine. And then how many of you remember? You remember then they had, you got really high tech back in the day. Because I can remember, how many of y'all remember the? It'd take you 42 minutes to make a call. You're just waiting on it. What you doing, baby? I'll be in there in a minute. I'll be about 20 minutes. What you doing? I'm trying to dial a number. No, you're trying to make a call. You remember that? Yeah, there's no caller ID. But remember, you got high tech, and then you got the buttons. Remember when it came digital? It's like, do, 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 do. How many of y'all remember that? And you're like, yeah. And then mobile phone. This was the first mobile phone. Really meant you just got a real long cord. How many of y'all remember walking through the house with your long cord? Yeah, girl. Uh-huh. Yeah, girl. Uh-huh. Hold on a minute. You kids, I'm going in the other room. And the kids go, what's he doing? Your cord was stuck on the chair. Remember? How many of y'all remember that? Somebody told me, and this is weird to me, but because I grew up in Houston, but somebody was telling me back out here in the country, you had shared phone lines. How many of y'all remember that? Yeah, okay, all right. Them's country folk right there. Yeah, uh-huh. That meant you went to the phone, and you had to pick it up to make sure one of your neighbors wasn't on a call. Now, don't lie, you're in church. How many of y'all ever, y'all know what I'm talking about, were you? There's some people up in this. Y'all need to get saved. How many of you have ever listened to somebody else's? Oh, there they are right there. Don't be telling them your prayer requests right there, those people. And now you can online shop. You don't even have, you get in your AC car, drive to your AC house, open up your garage door, take your garage door down, walk inside with your cell phone, phone calls are coming in, you go, nope, decline, nope, decline, nope, decline, sit in your pajamas eating Cheetos and order everything you want. You don't even have to go to the mall anymore. You can just order it right there. UPS, thank you, Sam, Chris. John, we got some UPS brothers represented here. They'll bring it right to your door. You don't even have to go outside. Then they'll honk the horn as they leave. And you go, okay. You don't even have to answer the door when they do. They'll just leave it at your front door. When you wonder why we're not connecting with something's missing. Something's missing. Look at me. Everybody leave it here. It's not something's missing. Someone's missing. There's relational poverty that's in each of our hearts because God didn't make us to walk this thing alone. He wanted to put a team around us of friends and relationships so we could all walk together. It's not just something is missing. Someone is missing. And that's good preaching. I don't care who you are. You missed a good place to hand clap right there. Why am I telling you this? Because you are one team away from changing the very course of your destiny. And if I could just talk to you a little bit, because Heidi and I were talking about this week, about the benefit of our own very own life of living in community or living with a team. We've lived in team for really the last 17 years that we've been here in Louisiana. We've lived on teams, putting friendships and relationships in our life of like value. It's helped us raise our children together. Our children were raised in a team. There have been times that our team, that we walk and do life with. We've done everything from cleaned up after storms together to go on mission trips together. We've given cars and received cars from our team. We've helped each other when things were down. We've helped raise each other's kids. There have been times where one of our team members were having trouble with their children, and they would ask me or Heidi to go visit with them. There were times that we were having trouble with our children, and we've asked some of our team if they would go and speak to one of our children on our behalf. How many of you know it's going to take more than just you, mom and daddy, to raise good, godly kids? It's going to have to be in a team. We've cared for one another, provided meals for one another. We've taken trips together. We've broken bread together. We've celebrated together. We've cried together. We've prayed together. We've lifted each other up, encouraged one another. And that's been happening in the last 17 years. You need a team. And listen, none of that happens by accident. You're going to have to make some choices and go, you know what, I need a team like that. I wish I had a team to help me, or and a team that I could be a part of that I could help. Let me show you what the early church, when the church began in the book of Acts, what they were doing when the church first started. If you want to go back to kind of original plan or original design, I want to take you back to the book of Acts, found in chapter 2, verses 42 through 46. Let's just peek in, kind of a highlight reel of what the church used to look like back when it began. They, the people of God, you, us, sitting in this room, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. In other words, they devoted, everybody say devoted. Yeah, they were committed to going to church. When the pastor was preaching, they wanted to make sure they were there. They didn't want to miss anything. I want to make sure they were up. It wasn't a... And by the way, could I push pause for a second? I'm just telling you this as a believer. You should never miss church unless you're sick, you're on vacation, or you're traveling, you're working. You should go, no, it should never be a question. Don't ever question it. In fact, husbands, you got to go home today and tell your wife, baby, don't ever ask me. Kids, don't ever ask me, are we going to church? The answer is we're going to church because we're devoted. We're devoted to the word and to the teaching that happens inside of the church. Can I get a good amen? It's already settled. Watch this. And watch this. Not only to the teaching, though, they were equally devoted to the fellowship. Let's look what the fellowship looked like, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. In other words, they were going to eat together. Come on, somebody. We live in South Louisiana. We got some cooks up in here. By the way, I've never been into a culture like this. I'm from outside, came inside. Heidi's always, she uses you men to make me look bad. Heidi's a great cook. And she's always going, you know, the men around here, they sure can cook. And have you ever thought about it? I'm going, no. Why would I think about it? You're an awesome cook. I mean, I'm just wondering. I mean, maybe you ought to get around some men that can cook. She's trying to get me on a new team. I said, baby, why do I need to go learn how to cook when you cook so good, baby? And besides, when they cook, they usually invite me over. I just go eat. I'm just the eater. That's what I do. We all have our lanes. Stay in your lane. There's the cookers, and then there's the eaters. I need to stay in my lane. Come on, somebody. Can I get an amen? Stay in my lane. Watch. Look what that. Look at. They watch this. They broke bread together. They ate together. They were fellowshipping. You know what fellowship looks like? You know what? We were having some fellowship this morning before church. You know what the first thing we talked about before church? It wasn't even Jesus. You know what it was, don't you? Did you watch the game last night? Yeah, how them Tigers look. Yeah, they look good. I tell you what. That defense, whoo, that defense looks good. Yeah. Okay, all right. We're going to have church now. Let's pray. What happened? just going to church, going to their small group. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were performed by the pastors or the apostles. You just saw a sign and wonder on the video. And Pastor Jacob goes, I got a 200, and I'm so amazed by him sometimes. He called me, could you believe it, man of God? I go, Pastor Jacob, only you could do this. Call one man, get 250, and this next 72 hours, get 280 to match it. That's a wonder. How did he do that? I wonder. I don't know. I can't do that. I'd call you. Some of you give me $4, and some of you give me $3. Here go, Pastor. You, all the believers. They were together, and they had everything in common. And watch what happens. And they sold property. They sold stuff and possessions. They gave to anybody who was in need. How didn't I been there? I can remember we first moved here. Talking about team. We only had one car. I can remember Pastor Jacob pulling up one day, honking the horn at my house. Heidi needed the car today, so he gave me a ride to work. My boss. And he said, man of God, we need to get you a car. Yes, sir. Yeah, that'd be great. I need a car. And he pulls down. I just want to give a plug. Giles. We went to see Mr. Giles. We pulled up to Giles Automotive. And we got out, and he walks in, says, stay right here. He walks in, walks out. Mr. Giles comes walking out. They took me over to this little row of cars, about 30 of them, and all the same. And Mr. Giles says, just pick out which one you want. Really? Whatever one you want. And I looked, and there was a blue one, and there was a white one, and there was a black one, and there was a red one, and there was all the normal colors. And down at the end, there was a gold one. It was gold. And I said, well, I came to Lafayette looking for God, and I found gold. I think I'll take the gold one. And I drove that. It was a Daewoo. Anybody remember a Daewoo? Anybody ever have a Daewoo? They don't even make them anymore. Daewoo-woo. That's what I used to say. Daewoo-woo. I had my own song when I got in that little Daewoo. It was about this big. It was about this big. I was like, it's driving up in it. How many know it was free? Look. All it was, just get in the right team. You know, there's been other times that we've been able to help and bless other people with cars. Why? There's been times we've got to hand the cars over. I got a new one. I'm going to hand this one over to somebody else who is in need. That's what happens when you build a team. That we saw, we're out, we're looking after one another. Hey, man, how are y'all doing? There have been times where somebody's pulled me aside and said, hey, are you and Heidi okay? Because it doesn't look like you're okay. Was it checked that I needed? There have been times I pulled brothers aside and said, that doesn't look good on you, man. I love you. You're my partner. Man, we're encouraging one another to live for God. See, everyone who had a need, watch this. Go on. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Watch this. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together. With sincere hearts. I'm going to wrap this up real quick. Vic's going to help me. I've got 5 minutes to preach the rest of this, but let's get this done. Let me show you. Let me give you three quick thoughts. The qualities of a great team. Watch this. Number one, we've got refrigerator rights. You know you're building a team when you've got people around you that it's okay for them to go into your refrigerator, and when you're at their house, you can go into theirs. Do you have friends that you can go into their refrigerator and make yourself a bologna sandwich? How y'all doing? Where'd you get that? And I want you, all believers, Acts 2:44, all the believers were together. They had everything in common. Listen, I'm not just talking about a personal relationship with Jesus. That's important. That you have a personal relationship with Jesus. But let me tell you what's even more powerful is that you have a shared relationship with Jesus. Can I get an amen? Yep. So how many people do you have in your life that has refrigerator rights? One? Two? Three? I'd say if you have less than three, you're probably in relational poverty. You don't have enough people close enough to you if they don't have refrigerator rights. Let me give you the second thing, qualities of a great community or a great team. Number two, we all have flawed feet. Everybody's got flawed feet. I don't wear open-toed shoes. I don't like my feet. Everybody, what? Everybody's, let me show you Romans 15, 7. Watch what it says. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, flaws and all, flawed feet and all, in order to bring what? What happens when I accept someone who has flaws? I bring praise to God. But when you have flawed feet, in our community, our team, there have been times, there have been people who've struggled with porn. There have been times we've saw families, that husbands and wives that begin to drift. We've seen people struggle with materialism. We've seen families go through disciplinary problems, and we've had some of the same struggles. We've walked through. How many of you know when you get a team together, even in a small group, if you got five, seven couples and seven women, how many of you know there could be even conflict with even within the team? You know women. Did you see the way she looked at me? No, baby, I didn't see the way she... Yeah, I said this and she said that, and I don't want to know what that means. There have been times... Some of you will get that later. It's just... You know what being in a close team gives you the ability to do? It's when you're wrong, you get to repent. And when you're wronged, you get to forgive. Because the team is worth it. It's worth it. And the purposes of God, because you're one team away from the destiny of your life changing. Watch what this. I love this. There's an Old Testament story about a man by the name of Mephibosheth. 2 Samuel 9:13. And he had two crippled feet. He had flawed feet. But because of a past relationship, the king, David, was going to... He told, hey, don't worry about Mephibosheth. Back in the Old Testament days, if there was something wrong with you physically, they would say, because you have sin. And David said, no, Mephibosheth, I want him in my house, and I'm going to tend to him, and he's going to be in my house, and he will always eat at the king's table. Always. And so look at, and Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he was always ate at the king. That's the best of the best. And he was what? We all have flawed feet. But you know what happens when you get at a table with people? When the table's there and the food is being served, you know what you can't see? You can never see the feet. And it's God saying to all of us, maybe if you get in the right team and around the right table, it may cover up your flawed feet, because God will begin to change and transform your very life, and his presence will always cover the very weakness. In fact, Jesus would say, in your weakness, or Paul would write, in your weakness, Christ is made strong. Come on, somebody. We all have flawed feet. Let me give you number three, and we can get to fight lions together. The Bible says this in 1 Peter 5 and 8. It says, I want you to be alert, and I want you to be sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. And he is looking for someone to devour. He's very good at what he does, and he's after us. The enemy wants to take you out. He wants to disqualify you in any way he possibly can. He's always looking for his target of opportunity. I can just say this to you by experience and wisdom, that being on the team has saved my life from the snares of the enemy. There have been times he may have struck me and I might have been down, but there was a team that could come around, protect, and pick me up until I got healed again. I'm just talking straight to you. Are you hearing me? I wanted to show you just this quick video, just so you'll see the power of a team. Let me show it to you. I'll comment. That is a water buffalo. Can y'all turn down the lights just a little bit? That's a water buffalo. Right there. You ever seen a water buffalo? Keep playing, Vic. I talk better when you're playing. And that is the roaring lion. Have you noticed? It's a cat. And you know, cats are closer to the devil. No, I'm just teasing. That's a joke. It's just a cat joke. How many cat lovers are in the room? Well, yeah, I'm sorry. It's a joke. Look, watch this. Watch this. You see what the lions are after, right? Here they go. Here they go. They're after the buffalo. And look what they're going to do. They're going to go find the littlest one. And they're going to pick him off. And then they're going to eat him. Because the enemy is like a roaring lion, always seeking who he could devour. But you see that little guy right there? I'm going to call him Pastor Eugene. That little water buffalo, Pastor Eugene, was part of a team. You see the team coming back, don't you? You see the team coming back, don't you? I want you to watch what happens when you're surrounded by a team. While the enemy may knock you down, don't mess with Pastor Eugene. Don't mess with him. Look, here comes Uncle Russ right there. Get out of there. Look at that. There's Jarvis. There's Heidi. Yeah, get away from my husband. Look at that. They're chasing now. We're going to chase him out. He gone. Look at that. There's Nick Manuel. Get away from Pastor Eugene. Oh, so y'all want some of him? Come on. Watch this. No. You let go of Pastor U. Let go. Get on out of here. Devil, you a liar. Devil, you a liar. Get out of here. Get on out of here. Isn't that awesome? That's a big one right there. That's Danny Jackson right there. A big buffalo. Let me just tell you this. You're one team away from changing the very course of your life. I see them sitting up there in the balcony today. This church started because there was a small group of people, a small group, that were meeting in the Badon's home from Lafayette, lived in Opelousas, and started a small group. Some coaches, some teachers, mother workers got together, and they started saying things like this. This is great. Look at us. They're breaking bread together, sharing together. And then somebody must have just said it out loud. We need a church up here in Opelousas. Just a small group. We need a church. I don't even know who said it first. Stuart, do you know? Who said it first? You don't even remember? I don't remember. All I remember is Coach Badon pulling me aside at the Lafayette campus one day and going, hey, we need a church in Opelousas. We want to start a campus in Opelousas. And I went and told Pastor Jacob. And Pastor Jacob says, you tell them that all, if that small group would all come to Lafayette and serve for 1 year, we'll start a church. Next Sunday, I see them all walking into church all together. They were there. Where did it begin? In a small group. You're one team away from changing the course of history and your own destiny in a small group. Can we give God all the praise for that? Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to give you an opportunity. Father, we thank you that you've surrounded us, Father, by some incredible people. And we're hearing your word that you didn't want us to live life alone. In fact, Father, even our modern conveniences have set our culture, has set us up. That, Father, we're now in relational poverty. And Father, we know that's not your way. You never wanted us to do it by ourselves, sitting in rows facing forward. but sitting in circles, breaking bread together, eating together, talking about LSU and Southern and who's going to win. And Father, I know building relationally together, because I know you want to do something even greater than we could ever accomplish by ourselves. And so, Father, I pray we receive your word today. We receive your word today. I'm praying, Holy Spirit, you're challenging some people in this very room who need to lead a small group. They need to lead one. And Father, you're challenging all of us to be in one, because we all need a team. We receive your word today in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and eye closed, I want to give you an opportunity to know Christ as your Lord and Savior today. I want to do that. I'm going to ask you the most important question of life. Have you been born again? Maybe today you could join the team you need to join. You can become a Christian, a Christ follower. I didn't ask if you've been christened or baptized. I ask you, have you been born again? Jesus said you can't see the kingdom or enter the kingdom unless you've been born again. And how do you become born again? It's as easy as A, B, and C. A, admit that you're a sinner and that you've fallen short. B, believe that Christ became the bearer for your sin, your shame, and your guilt. And C, just confess him as Lord. So with every head bowed and every eye closed today, Christians, you're praying. I want to give you an opportunity to be born again, to join the team, to join the herd, to come inside of the family, to be born again, to be one of Christ, one of his, to put on the uniform of Jesus. All you have to do is confess him today. I want to pray for you. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, today you can. I want to pray for you right now. All I ask you to do, every head bowed, eye closed. If you'll lift your hand up right now, I'm going to pray for you. Hold up high. Thank you, ma'am. I see your hand. One and two. And I thank you. Three and four. I see them. Four. Five. Thank you. Thank you, daughter. Five. I'm looking in the balcony. Five hands today. Thank you. I see your hand. Six. Congregation, I want us to pray with these six. Would you pray out loud together? Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and then you died for it. And I believe that you faced hell for me so I would not have to go, and that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God all the praise for that.